Hey you, and welcome back to the Mood Lab. I am a little late with my solo episode, but there was just so much going on, and I already teasered you with, well, the fact that I have some stories to tell, or I don't know, just to share a little bit of what my life has looked like in the past couple of weeks and why I was literally, yeah, just hanging on by some threads in order to get by, get going. And I kind of was thinking to share this completely different topic with you today and talk about something that, yeah, currently has been forming in my heart and the heart of a friend of mine, where we are starting this beautiful initiative of, well, a collective for women in Lisbon called Daughters of God. And we are starting this to just have a space where we can, as women, come together, share our perspectives, and also seek perspectives rooted in Scripture and our Heavenly Father. And we just want to be there to ask questions, like all of us, just ask our questions. And we by no means have the answers. We want to root it in Scripture as much as possible. And yeah, we just want to create that space to share our testimonies, talk about what it means to be a woman, singleness, dating, marriage, purity, gifts, God's plan for us, being God's daughter in the workspace, ambition, purpose, and all sorts of things that concern us as women. And this is just something that, when I speak for myself, has been something so dearly to me, and it's been something that I always feel so grateful when I'm in a space where I can express myself and I can express the way that I think and feel. Obviously, a lot of my thoughts and beliefs and the things I feel about certain topics and behaviors and values, they're very much rooted in Scripture and they're very much part of Christianity. But I've had those before I even met Jesus. So that to say, for such a long time, I felt completely out of place. I always thought, like, why am I the only girl at this brunch who thinks differently? Why am I the only one who didn't do X, Y, Z and doesn't have a desire for that, actually, and feels like there's something, let's say, sort of wrong in that, in terms of it doesn't really help me, it's not helpful. Why am I the only one? That was often my question, and I felt so out of place. And there were so many ways where I tried to conform then to the people around me, because I thought, oh, this is the way to live in this world. And I did that in so many ways, in terms of business, in terms of dating, and yeah, all those things, literally. And that is just something, oh, also in terms of dressing, there was definitely a point where I was thinking, oh, I need to like dress like more, I guess, freely in a way. And it's so interesting because I've read so many books now and I've read so much in Scripture that I've come to the conclusion that, well, first of all, I found my way of how I feel about those things based in Scripture, which is beautiful. And for the first time, I felt recognized in something and I could relate to, yeah, to what is basically termed as good for us and what isn't as good for us. And if you go deeper into that, you also understand the why, which is so beautiful and so helpful to know about. And there was a book that I just read, which is called Moral Revolution, and I can highly recommend it, especially if you have a teenage person around you. Maybe you have your own daughter, your own son, and maybe you're yourself still a teenager. I can highly recommend you reading this book, Moral Revolution. And it's so beautiful to read this book because when I read it, I was like, oh, I wish I would have had this to read when I was a teenager, because that would have spared so much confusion. And I still feel like in the moment that we are living in right now, and with that I mean in the moment that I am at with my current age, I'm so grateful to still be able to have those conversations, to have those conversations with other women, how we feel on certain things and how we can be our best version as women in this world and do what feels right to us and feels right to our nervous system and feels right to our biology. And on top of that, not only feels right, because our hearts can be deceiving from time to time, so that we can also root all of that in scripture and have a solid, strong foundation in Him, our Creator, our Heavenly Father. And that is basically something I wanted to talk about today and dive deeper into that, into the topic of also men and women and equality, or rather equal in value, different in roles. But then I opened up my Bible because I kind of wanted to get to the point where I wanted to read something for you from another chapter, which I'm then going to do in a couple of weeks' time, I guess. But I opened up my Bible and I ended up at this paragraph. So my Bible is a women's Bible and it's a study Bible. So it has like additions to it, which is really beautiful because it has like beautiful explanations. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to read one of those additions to you from another chapter. I wanted to read you something from Ephesians, but we're not going to do that because I opened up my Bible and I ended up in Ecclesiastes. I ended up at this beautiful little box which talks about patient waiting. And that's so funny to me because that's actually been what I wanted to talk to you about as well, because I wanted to share, like I said in the beginning, a bit of what has been going on in the past couple of weeks. Because for more than 3 weeks, I was waiting on things. I was waiting on getting electricity installed. I was waiting on getting water installed. I was waiting on my IKEA furniture because first they brought like half of the stuff wrong. And I was waiting on my chairs. They were sent to Portugal, then they were returned to Spain before they were returned again to me because somehow they weren't able to get my address right. So all of those things happened and I was like patiently waiting, literally, and sometimes less patiently because obviously there are moments where I was like, I cannot deal with this anymore. I need an assistant. I've been on the phone and on my computer to like talk to client services for hours and hours, and that next to working 40 hours plus having my own clients on top of that and doing the podcast and doing other stuff and being off service at church, and like all of those things have been going on. And also I wanted to be a bit social here and there and just be around people because that's literally what keeps you going and lifts you up, and community is so important. Another topic for another day for sure. But so that was going on, and I just thought before I'm diving too much into that and tell you too much of all the struggles that I went through, because like we all go through them from time to time, and it's definitely a lesson learned that when you move to a country that is more, let's say, a bit more relaxed in its nature, which I love this about Portugal so much. So then it's just so beautiful to learn to embrace that this might also be something that you have to like embrace when you move into a new apartment. And also that things aren't as perfected as when you're in Germany, for example. So coming from Germany, everything is so individualistic, everything is so made to perfection. And it's actually what I kind of wanted to, I guess, move away from and what didn't draw me in and what I kind of wanted to let go of. But I noticed that as a German and as a German born person, having lived there, I guess, 19 years of my life before I moved for the first time, and then also moving there again for another 4 years, so I've lived there in total, I think, something around 23 years or something, just knowing about myself that I've been growing up in this environment and that obviously has influenced me, then being kind to myself while I'm adapting to a new environment is so important. This definitely, the past couple of weeks have grown me in so many ways, because you could easily get completely disorganized, completely fed up with the whole situation. And I literally had to lean in the whole time. I had to trust the whole process. I had to trust that others would catch me in terms of living situation as well, because I couldn't move into the new apartment. Also, in case I didn't share that before, I had to. So basically, I wanted to move out of my old apartment that I was renting for short term and move directly into the new apartment. But what happened was that I then already had rented the new apartment. I knew that I would be moving in at the end of February. So 1st of March would have been the move-in date. And then I noticed that I had mold in my old apartment and I got sicker and sicker. I felt it in my lungs and in my, I don't know how you call them, like the bronchial area. I have no idea if that's a word, but I think you get what I mean. I think it's called bronchial area, whatever. So I noticed that I wasn't doing well. I was getting sicker and sicker. So I moved into my friend's place. She wasn't there. So I moved into her room and I stayed there for a couple of days, got a bit sicker at first, and then I got way better. And I noticed that every time I would wake up in the morning, I would feel so much better than I felt before. Because I know about myself that I definitely have reactions to mold, and I had that before when I was traveling through Italy. So I knew that there was something going on there that was influencing me, and it did big time. And I still notice now, because I've got another cold going on right now, and I noticed that immune system is down, and I'm definitely on a journey to build that up again, because health to me, obviously, like it is to everyone, is just so important. And I'm just like an avid carer for my health. I just think, yeah, I mean, if you don't have your health, you have nothing, literally. So what I then did was I stayed at my friend's place, and I kind of thought maybe I could go back for a moment or so. And I organized to move into the new place mid-month, so mid of February already, because the new space is completely empty, well, was completely empty, so I knew that it might be possible, and it was possible. But then things went a bit wrong with that as well. When I was already living in the apartment of my friend, I returned to my old place to get some stuff, because I still, like, I was living between two spaces, kind of, because I still had most of my stuff in the old apartment, because I was thinking, well, I don't have to, like, carry everything to my friend's place in order to then carry it back into the same area where I'll be moving. And so I left it there, but then one day I got there to record a podcast from the moldy apartment space, basically. But I just knew that it would be quiet, and so I wanted to do it there, and I had to be in that area anyways. I went in, and like half an hour later, I looked down at my legs, and I had all those little, I guess it was some sort of flea kind of bug, a jumpy bug on my leg. Well, not only one, but several. And I freaked out a bit, of course. And the next day, we emptied the whole apartment and put everything in plastic bags to be sure to not carry anything with us. And I started obviously washing, and I had to stay with my friend for another couple of weeks until I could move into the new place. And that was just also prolonged because I did not have electricity for about, well, I was trying to get it for 3 weeks, and that was, yeah, just not working. And just hilarious in terms of, you go to the office, you ask them, like, can I have electricity with you? They say yes. They say they send you an appointment via email, and then you never get an appointment and you have to start the whole process again. So those kind of things happen to me. But now I'm actually sitting in my new apartment, which you might hear because it's like still, I think I need to put something on the walls to make it a bit more, I don't know, like buffered, and maybe some sort of picture would be nice anyways, or some sort of painting or something. But I still have to like get to that. I just got my chair, so I'm sitting on a chair for the first time in this place. For about a week, I was sitting on my bed and pulled the desk, or rather the, how's it called, the kitchen table. I put it close to the bed to work from there, which worked. So that's been a bit of my story, but I mean, it's, I don't know if it is, maybe it's boring, but it's just what I went through. And honestly, I couldn't have done it without community. I couldn't have done it without my friends who helped me build up the furniture. I couldn't have done it without my friend who let me stay in their apartment for like more than 3 weeks, which is something not everybody does, and which I'm just so grateful for. I'm also so grateful for just every friend who was encouraging and was there with me and just asking how I'm doing and being there in the whole process, because sometimes you just need people to just keep you on track and keep you sane in the midst of chaos. Now that I opened up my Bible to just read something else to you. I opened up this page instead of, well, it's like the Ecclesiastes page, and there it talks about patient waiting. And I thought, okay, I think God wants me to read this instead. So I just thought I'm going to read this to you because I think it will be of benefit to us all. And I also am going to read a bit of scripture to you as well that relates to that. So let's read the scripture first where it relates to. And I think it goes from that 7:4 or let's see. Yeah, I think we could go from 7:4. It says, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. Like the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of fools. This too is meaningless. Extortion turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Do not say, 'Why were the old days better than these?' For it is not wise to ask such questions. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing, and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter, but the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves those who have it. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this: God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future." And that's basically the scripture that I think then the box refers to. So I'm going to read the box to you because I think it relates so well to going through seasons that are a bit more challenging, maybe a lot more challenging in general, and that really, really grow us, that really tax us. And yeah, sometimes that is so. Often people wonder or ask, well, if God is a good God, why doesn't he resolve all of that? And why doesn't he answer my prayers? The thing is, so just consider, he actually answered your prayer. He just knows that he needs to bring you through that season because this is what you need to go through in order for him to grow you into the person that he wants you to be, or for you to just mature and be prepared for the will that he has for you. So I think we sometimes get really caught up on the fact that we need to have every prayer answered in the way that we think it needs to be answered. But something that I've learned over the past couple of months is that, for example, I cannot just, and I've talked about this with a beautiful woman that you will hear her speaking in a couple of weeks because I will upload our conversation during the month of March. I've also spoken with her about singleness and single season, and also in that season, but same as in marriage, you cannot just be like, "Hey God, I pray for my husband, please deliver him to me." Because what if God has a different plan for you? Maybe just for now or for your whole life. And obviously I do have that belief that if we desire something, it surely has a reason that we have that desire, and we can also communicate with God. I mean, he knows what's in our heart, so he knows what we are longing for. And the Bible also states that, it kind of states, I have to paraphrase it, I don't know it by heart, but it states that it's better to find a husband than to become a sinner because you fall prey to your, I guess, sexual needs in a way. So there's that. I just wanted to bring this in because sometimes our prayers are answered in different ways than we thought they needed to be answered, because God is so much more supreme. He's so much more all-encompassing to anything that we could ever encompass and understand. So sometimes it's really truly about that trust, and not only sometimes, it's always about that trust in him and that he knows what is best for us and what we need to go through. And I also do believe he will never put us through anything that we cannot manage and that we cannot handle somehow, and that we are not equipped to handle in some ways. And I think we ourselves often think smaller about ourselves than he does. So just to say that. So, and now to that little part in my book, in my little beautiful Bible book. It says, patient waiting. The theme of God's providential care for his created order is woven throughout scripture. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus assured his hearers of his presence in the midst of their trials. God's eternal and unfailing purpose is to sustain and direct his created beings from the beginning of creation into eternity. He has shown his providential care again and again, extending it from the least to the greatest, covering the sinner and the saved. Esther was simultaneously the humble Jewess, honoring her husband and the queen of Persia, delivering her people. The God who controlled the cruel and despotic Xerxes of Persia has ultimate power over every situation. God's control is all-inclusive and absolutely certain, but at the same time, every individual is responsible for her own decision and action. Still, no one can defeat the plans of God, since all actions are included in his active or permissive will. We are not under the tyranny of blind fate or an inviolable law of cause and effect, which by definition would seem to imply that there is a realm into which God cannot enter. The events of our universe are ordered by a compassionate, gracious, long-suffering, faithful God. God has not promised that everything happening to us will be what we consider good. However, if tragedy strikes, we have only to wait patiently for his hour of redemption. God is able to cause even unfortunate happenings to work for good to those who love the Lord. Nothing can happen to us apart from God's knowledge, presence, and love, so that even in the most desperate circumstances, we can be assured that God is working on our behalf for our eternal good. God is for us. He is not against us. In the tension between blessing and adversity, we recognize our complete dependence on him, as well as his sovereignty over our own decisions and actions. So I think, well, that's a little paragraph. It's a kind of a big paragraph, but oh my, that is so beautiful, because it feels like, I mean, Jesus in general, it's like a breathing out, but this feels so much like breathing out, because it is, he has not promised that everything happening to us will be what we consider good. However, if tragedy strikes, we have only to wait patiently for his hour of redemption. Like, he's there for us. He is there with us in the midst of everything, in the midst of unfortunate happenings, in the midst of the good things, in the midst of the bad things. And nothing can happen to us apart from God's knowledge, presence, and love. So that even in the desperate circumstances, we can be sure that God is working on our behalf for our eternal good. He sees the big picture. He's there with us. And I think that is so important to see and so beautiful. And it just gives you a moment to relax in, to be like, yeah, he's working. He's doing his thing. He's there with me. And I don't need to have that all-encompassing knowledge. He has, and I will never have that. I don't see the big picture. He does. Even when I reflect back on the last couple of weeks, and I already shared that a bit, but just by the fact, for example, that people helped me in my processes, in adversity, they became closer friends. We grew closer together. I learned to trust in others. I learned to receive. I learned to be served and to accept something from others without being able to return them anything in that moment. And I also learned being of service, even whilst I was struggling myself. And I think there's so many beautiful things that we sometimes even notice while we're in the midst of something, and still it's all guided, and he has his hand on us. He knows us, he knows our heart, he knows our circumstances, he knows what we are currently going through, and we can always call upon him. We can always get in touch with him. He's there. He's there with every single one of us. He knows every single hair on your head, and he knows your heart, and he's for us and not against us, and he's good. He's good. So, so good. And I think that's actually all I want to share today, because I think there is so much in there, but I don't want to say too much. I feel like I just want to give that to you, reading this part of scripture, reading this part of the little added box that I have in my beautiful Bible. I just want to leave that with you, because I think I was supposed to open this part just today, and it speaks to me so much. It's so beautiful. It rounds up so well the experience that I just went through. It rounds up so well experiences that we all constantly go through, and it just speaks so much to life, and obviously it does, but yeah. So that's it. I feel like to every single one listening as well, to you listening, it might mean something completely different to you, and that's why I want to leave it at that, because perhaps you draw upon a different situation, and I just encourage you to contemplate on it and to sit with it and to pray with it. And yeah, so that's it for today. I'm excited to, on Thursday, serve you with another beautiful conversation that is coming up. And thank you for being here, for listening, and for, yeah, just being on this journey with me and being so open-minded and receptive. And I'm sending you so much love, and have a beautiful day whenever you're listening to this.